In addition to realms of, on the male side, where the male side is order on the physical world, and then the mind, and then the higher self, and on the female side we have the emotional nature, the intuition, and then higher realms still. So the feeling nature is associated with female energy. The mind is more associated with male energy. And both of them have all kinds of gifts for us. And in their higher natures on both sides, there's tremendous things to discover. And the interesting part about the female side of ourselves is female is represented by the magnetism that holds the entire universe together. The forces of gravity and magnetism, and they are completely invisible. We can't see them at work. The male energy in the universe is represented by the radiance of the sun. And we can look at the sun and we can see it and we can see the effects. And it's a lot easier to believe on the male side of things. But the female side of things, everything working on the female side is invisible and we can't see it. And this is esoterically why females have been ignored so much in our past history, because all the things they have contributed to humanity has been behind the scenes and invisible. Yet the female force in the universe is that which holds everything together. There could be no planet or tree holding together and taking form without the female force of magnetism holding it together. Whereas the radiant energy of the male energy spreads energy. And the female energy pulls it together. So the males have the advantage of being visible. And you go in a room where there's males and females and look around, the males will always be showing off and being more visible and telling jokes and trying to impress the females with their cleverness and things like that. That's in our nature. So whenever you're in a room with males and females, the males are always more visible. And the females are looking back at the males making fools of ourselves. Thinking, yeah, you know, well, try a little bit harder to impress me, okay? Or whatever. And it's interesting, especially, remember back in your dating situation, that is amplified even more, you know. You go to a singles bar or something like that, the males are actively going around trying to search out the females. The good-looking magnetic female with lots of magnetic energy, what does she have to do? She goes in a bar and sits at a table, pours herself a drink, and that's all she has to do, and just sits there. Her greatest work is getting rid of all the riffraff she doesn't want. You know, just a very slight glance with a twinkle in her eye can get a guy's heart beating twice as fast, make him nervous, and start sweating or whatever. It's amazing the power that they have over us. And women don't realize how much power they have over a guy. You know, they think, women are deceived into thinking the men have all the power, and that's entirely not the case. I mean, the reason they think that, a lot of them, is women are deceived, and the whole world is deceived, both men and women, and thinking the way to get ahead is to be like a man. So I'm going to be in business, I'm going to boss like a man, I'm going to rule like a man, I'm going to tell people what to do like a man. And when they do that, they're resented by everybody, including the other females, is the interesting part. But when the woman gets in her energy and uses her energy, then she taps into power that is fantastic. She has power to motivate the guys to do whatever she wants. She can pretty much put them around her finger if she uses her energy. Not too many females really understand using the energy. But, you know, the good-looking female in the bar that we're talking about, she's somebody that understands using the energy in that spot. Now, unfortunately for her, she may go to work the next day and try to use male energy to get ahead, and it just doesn't work like it did back in the bar, you know. Because in the bar, she understood that's where we let the women use the female energy. You know. But she needs to use it more and effectively. Yeah, Dee.
Most men, and I'm saying most because not 100%, don't listen to women. Mm-hmm. They don't listen to them. But women listen to men. They watch them, they see them, they worship them, some of them, and they make their soul contact first.
Yeah.
Then the men, you know, think about them. But they really don't listen to the women.
And this,
they watch men, they don't.
See, that's the reason is, see, sending out words is sending as a male energy. And that's the reason. Is we're in the male energy, and it's easier for us to send words out that are accepted. So what women have to do is be in their female energy and bring out the words from the men. So in other words, if she's in a, say she's in a supervising capacity, which is kind of a male energy in itself, but she has to make the best of it, and the way to make the best of it is with the female energy. Instead of saying, bringing a guy over and saying, I want you to do ABC, here's what I want you to do, and he's maybe not listening, daydreaming this. I'm not going to have some woman tell me what to do. So instead of that approach, if she says, you know, we have to accomplish ABC, what do you think is the best way to get that done? See, this way she's using the female energy to draw it out of him. And he says, well, I think this. And when he points out something that she agrees with, and she says, that's a good idea you come up with, this particular thing here. And he thinks, well, really? Yeah, she's recognizing my genius. Good. He says, why don't you work on that, and then we'll take a second look tomorrow. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then there he is off. See, he listened to her, but she used her female energy to get him to listen. And this is what the female has to do. She has to use her female energy to get the attention she wants. And so in this world, because the male energy is visible, the female energy is invisible, both the males and the females, in, say, the creative and work area, it's about 75-80% male energy dominated, because everyone thinks that's where the power is. But for the females, that's not where the power is. Where have you ever seen a female and the male energy really be successful? Very rare. But the only one I can think of is maybe Margaret Thatcher. And she looked kind of masculine. I think she was a man in a woman's body, really. But she is one of the few that, you know, and I'm sure she still used her female energy to get a lot of things done, because I'm not privy to how she operated with her personal staff around her, but I would suspect that she might have used this principle we're talking about, because she got a lot of cooperation from people around her. So that's interesting that, yeah, Larry.
Well, in business, I've seen women that were in positions of some authority. I knew a woman when I worked at Tandem that sold, I don't know, $7, $8, $9 million to Sprint. Mm-hmm. Had lots of people it worked for. I've worked with other women, you know, that had people report to them, programmers, things like this. And it seemed to me that the ones that did really well had one thing in common, is, and I think you said it, is they were really good listeners, because they would let a lot of people talk.
Yeah.
They would listen a lot more than they talked or told people what to do. But when they finally decided what to do, then they would pick maybe the person that advocated that and let them say it, and then choose them.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of, in the background, listening and getting people to, you know, to bring out their ideas.
Right.
They used the female, that part of female energy a lot.
That's a good point, Larry. And matter of fact, consider the fertilization of a female egg. You have one female egg, and how many sperm are competing to impregnate that one egg? Millions, right? So millions of sperm, and the female has a choice of millions. It's like people say, well, the news is fair and balanced, but not all news is fair and balanced, even if it's accurate, because the news person may have a dozen stories or versions of a story to pick on something, And if he's biased, he can pick the one that supports his point of view. And maybe only one of them supports his point of view, the other one doesn't. But by picking the news items that supports his point of view, he can actually preach to the public and get his message over to the public while just claiming, well, I'm just giving the news. I know I'm completely unbiased. By the power of selection, a news person can control how a lot of people think about a story by not allowing certain sides of the story to be told, but other sides of the story that he agrees with and feels good about, he will present. So it's the female has the same power. She has that power of selection. And it's all exemplified in the impregnation of the sperm. The male sperm is sent. Again, the sending energy sending. And the female receives. But she doesn't receive anything. She's extremely picky. Have you noticed that about women, Larry, that they're a little picky about what they receive? Well, let's ask somebody whose wife isn't here, James. Won't get Larry in trouble there. Okay, James' wife is not here. She may listen to this later. But are they a little fuzzy what they receive, you think, James? Okay. Yeah, they are. They're really fuzzy about what they put on, what they receive, what they wear, a lot more than we are. It's just the nature of the female energy. And it all goes back to nature. They have millions of sperm to pick from, and they accept just one. It's amazing. But what's amazing is how many they have to pick from. And just one they select. And the same thing with us is there's nothing that stimulates a male more than when the female really listens intently to us. And when they listen intently to us, we think, oh, this is great. I mean, we just feel enlivened when we have a female actually listen to us. I mean, that's really choice, you know, and there maybe more choice if we listen to the female on their point of view. But people are not inclined to listen that much, but when a female listens to a male, we're stimulated, and then what do? We think they really liked a little bit, so we'll give them more. So we talk and talk and talk, and then if they continue to listen, we think, boy, I'm really razzle-dazzling this gal. I'm going to give her even more. And what she's doing, unbeknown to him, is she's sifting. She's thinking, well, it's all just a bunch of chatter, but maybe there might be something usable in what he's saying. So then what she'll eventually do, once in a while, she will hear maybe one out of a million words that she really accepts and is impregnated with within her soul. And when she gets impregnated with one of the male ideas, then all of a sudden she will say, hey, you have to do that. And the great example of this, if you're in a marriage relationship, you may be running all kinds of things by your wife, and she'll say, yeah, 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 yeah. And then you'll say, well, you just casually mentioned maybe we ought to go to Hawaii someday. And she'll say, oh, yeah, I'll accept that. And then the next day she'll say, "What? Have you done more thinking about that saving up for Hawaii? No, I don't even remember saying anything about it. Well, yes, you did. Remember we talked about it yesterday. Well, did we? Oh, okay, well. Okay, well, think about it. And so she reminds him that's been impregnated in her. She wants to go to Hawaii now. He got that idea stuck in her. She accepted that. She didn't accept going to the Star Trek convention and stuff like that. You know, a lot of stuff she just ruled out completely. But the Hawaii thing, that stuck. So now, once that is stuck in her, you're just going to wind up going to Hawaii. It's pretty much no way around it. What'd you say?
When are
we leaving? Oh, yeah. Oh, Larry, look what I did. I got the idea stuck in her already. Yeah. But if we could just understand, especially the female energy, what's interesting is gravity, which is a female energy, was completely a mystery until Newton came along. It's still mostly a mystery, but Newton was the first one to really pay attention to gravity and study it. You know, and up until that time, you know, a lot of people just didn't even question what makes us fall or anything. They didn't even think to even ask that question in the old days. But they just accepted. It was like the female energy was invisible and they didn't even ask any questions about it. But as soon as Newton came along and started asking questions about it, then you notice that was around the 1700s. And from then on, people have been paying more attention to the female energy, a lot more female rights, a lot females are coming into their, starting to come into their own power. The female energy since Newton has been aroused to the possibility that, they have within them a lot of potential that has not been released. But unfortunately, like I said, they've been deceived into thinking the way to release it is through the male approach. But at least they've got the idea in their minds that they have this unlimited potential within them just like men do. But now what they have to understand is they have to have a more full understanding of the female energy and how it works. And it'll probably take another 100 to 200 years in the Aquarian Age to get that roughly in the consciousness of humanity. But when it is, there will be something even better than equality, and that is what the equality of male and female will bring about is a lot more creative energy. And this is one thing that DK teaches, is that's one of the glories we're going to see in the Aquarian Age is tremendous creativity. We're going to see creativity like we haven't even imagined before, and a lot of this will take place because the females will begin to understand where their power comes from. Yeah, Dee?
You mentioned Margaret Thatcher as being an example of, a woman who was a leader in that. But I remember when President Clinton was made president and Hillary, it was the strangest thing. I felt such a masculine feeling from her. It was very forceful. And I thought, gee, is this just me or what? It was really strange.
And that's the interesting thing about her, I think, is a lot of people don't like her, and they don't know why they don't like her.
Yeah.
Others don't like her, and they know why they don't like her. But a lot of it is she is trying to work with the male energy, and it goes against a lot of the grain of some people.
Okay.
And you notice she's always wears these pantsuits, and I heard on the news the other day, Hillary's showing cleavage. She's showing cleavage. Wow. And we're making a big deal. Showing cleavage, boy, what did she do? And I envisioned, really sexy outfit. And then I finally saw a picture of it, and it was just the smallest amount of cleavage. I mean, I thought, that's cleavage, But they made it just a really big deal. And the reason they made the big deal is probably is that Hillary usually doesn't try to use female energy at all. But there I think she was thinking, let the female side of myself show a little bit, and it really created a stir in the news. The fact that it did create such a stir just shows she let a thimbleful of female energy out, and it really created a stir. What could she do if she let a lot of it out, and concentrated on her more female side? But I notice a lot of female politicians are very masculine in their approach. And I notice a lot of people just don't like them. A lot of the female politicians, something about them just rubs them the wrong way. And what creates this feeling is the masculine approach they're taking. But when the female takes the female approach, the males are not rubbed the wrong way. Females aren't rubbed the wrong way as much as the males are, because the males can really sense the masculine, the female coming out of the female. And a lot of the females think or bought into the thinking that they have to be like the male, and they cheer each other on in being male. But us guys don't cheer them on because we want the females to be females. It's in our nature to want that. And it's in the nature of the females to want the men to be in the masculine energy, even though they really grumble about it a lot. It's really interesting how females will really grumble about us being in our energy. Well, he's, this and that, and I don't like it at all. But then you give them a really wimpy, feminine guy, and they won't be attracted to him at all. They'd rather go with a guy they're really grumbling about a lot. And the reason they grumble about us is because we're so much, the energy is just different, but they're still attracted to that energy. You know, like Artie is really neat and clean and organized, and I'm really disorganized, and a lot of us males are much more disorganized than the females, and that's one thing females complain about the males about. Now, there are some males that are very organized, and it's not necessarily a 100% male trait, but because we're into scattering and throwing things out, it's much more difficult for us to be tidy and organized and neat like the females. And so this is one thing that Artie complains about me a lot, but still she wouldn't trade me for the guy that has a really neat desk that is a wimp. You know, I don't think she would trade me off for that guy. I guess I better not give her ideas. Now let's look at some of the magic that Jesus did. And he went through a very interesting ceremony that most people don't realize is a ceremony when he did his greatest miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. As I said earlier, first of all, he wanted to demonstrate that it was possible to raise someone from the dead who'd been dead for longer than 3 days, because it was a Jewish tradition that no one could come back from the dead after 3 days. And so he waited. He learned of Lazarus dying, and instead of rushing there, he just hum-hawed around and did some work and piddled around. And then when he arrived after the 3 day period was over, his friends came to him and says, "Jesus, if you would have come earlier, you could have saved Lazarus. Why did you wait so long?" Now, why did they say that to him? It's because they thought that once a 3 day period had passed, not even Jesus could heal him. And that's why they criticized him for dilly-dallying around and not coming sooner. And then he turned to Martha, and he says, "Martha, do you believe that I can raise Lazarus from the dead?" And what did Martha say?
"Yes, Lord."
She says, "Yes, I believe that you can." And this was the ceremony that he needed. In other words, what he did is he had an exchange of male and female energy. There had to be that exchange to give him the power to be able to raise Lazarus from the dead. That male-female exchange where the female believes and accepts and the male sends. That exchange of energy produces a magical power. He felt that he needed that extra charge that comes from the male-female interplay. So he turned to Martha and he says, "Believest thou that I can do this?" She says, "Yes, yes, Lord, I believe that you can do anything, even unto raising Lazarus from the dead." And then he turns to Lazarus and he says, raises his hand and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And all of a sudden, there he was, all wrapped up in these burial clothes and everything, and he stirs and he raises up from the dead. And word got around, and it really upset the Jewish authorities, because they thought, "Wow, he raised a man from the dead that's been dead for longer than 3 days. If we don't do something about this guy, the whole world's going to be following after him." Instead of thinking, "Wow, he did that, we got to check into it, and maybe there's something to it," they thought, "Man, we got to do something about this guy. We got to shut him up. We can't let him go around doing stuff like this." So this is the magic of the soul. Yeah, Bill.
I have a question. So what if Martha said, "You know, maybe, maybe not." I mean, he could still do.
He could have asked any other female there. They could have said that. He already looked which one is going to help me.
But let's just say she did say that. I mean, I would think that he would have the ability to raise Lazarus no matter what she said.
Well, even a master has to operate on principles. And if he needed a touch of the female energy to consummate the power, then if Martha said ho-hum, he would have went to Mary or somebody else. He would have kept going until he found somebody that was able to believe. Because when Jesus went to his hometown, he said a few things to them. They said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't we know where he lives and who he is? And then it said, Jesus could do no miracle there because of their unbelief. So among his home people, among the people who knew him best, his hometown, he could do no miracle there because of their unbelief. In other words, there was no interplay of energy there that allowed him to perform the great miracles. So if he, when he was there, if there was nobody there to say, yes, I believe you can do it, I think he would have said, well, let's have the funeral then. Lazarus was a good man. He's on the other side. We've got to let him go.
JJ, didn't you once say that Jesus did all of his miracles with male-female energies?
Well, all power is generated through male-female energies one way or another. You know, there's really no power without the interplay of the both energies. But we as men are polarized in the male energy. The females are polarized in the female energy. And the true divine energy is at the zero point. And at the zero point is where the energy comes down, because there's no such thing as empty space. And in the space that we think is empty is really tremendous currents of energy flowing that can be tapped into at any time. And by tapping into them, by neutralizing the energy of the male and female within us, we can tap in to that emptiness, so to speak, that's not really empty, but can fill us up with the spiritual power and produce great miracles. The emotions are female polarization. The mind is male polarization. And it's interesting to look at the difference between a single guy and a single gal. If I visit a single guy friend, open his refrigerator, maybe have a glass of beer, and that's about it, and a loaf of bread. Yeah, it's moldy. Room's kind of messy. Bike's right in the middle of the kitchen, you know. And which reminds me, I made a delivery to a customer a while back and saw a bike. He had a big standard house. It looked like a family house, you know. So I assumed he was a family man. Opened the door, and there was a bike right in the middle of the living room. And I said, you're not married, are you? He says, no. How'd you know? But you visit a female. You open her refrigerator. It's just chock full of all kinds of things. The bathroom's nice and clean. The kitchen's clean. Dishes are done. And now, like I say, this is not the way with everybody. There are guys that are neat and clean and have refrigerator stocked, but it's maybe one out of 20 or something, you know, on their own. But when us guys hook up with the female, all of a sudden everything changes. They want to lead us into the world of experience. And this is what Eve did with Adam. And they were living together in this boring garden, you know, and paradise, and had everything they want, and Eve was just bored stiff. So she says, man, I'm going to enter the world of excitement. I'm going to make a pact with the devil. And we're going to have a romping good, interesting time. And Adam says, well, I don't really want to do this, but...
Okay.
Yeah, okay. And so when the male hooks up with a female, she pulls him into the emotional world, and she starts saying, hey, we want a bigger house. Well, the guy's happy. Before I married you, I lived in this little den, you know, and I was happy there. Well, we need a big house, you know. Okay, so he starts working like crazy to get in the house, but the female energy is very much centered on the form also, and so she leads the male into the world of experience. And then eventually it's the male's job to eventually take charge and pull the female and say, hey, we've had enough experience now. I've been turning everything that's happened has been like upside down. I thought, Eve says, whoa, I thought this experience was going to be great, but boy, and we're, you know, I've got some rash and pain and menstrual cramps, and I've got all kinds of things I didn't have back in the garden, you know. So then she starts bugging Adam, well, you know, we got to get out of this place. You know, we got to get back to paradise again. So he starts using his mind. This is symbolic of the human race as a whole. He starts using his mind, thinking, okay, here's how we're going to get back to the world of spirit. And Adam starts figuring everything out. Well, everything looked this way, but it's not that way. It's real. And he turns the emotional reality upside down, and he starts seeing things clearly. And then the male energy starts to use logic and reason. And he starts leading us back, but unfortunately, poor old Adam only gets us so far. He gets us so far, and then he gets stumped. But he's inspired Eve. Eve is now feeling inspired because she's beginning to see that everything was upside down in the emotional world. And Adam was right in using mind and logic and reason to solve all these equations and to turn the untruth and the illusion upside down and see the real truth. And one by one, Adam saw all these things, but it still doesn't lead him back to paradise. And so then Eve starts to take control. And she enters the world of the intuition. The intuition is female polarized. And so the female energy starts getting flashes of inspiration where Adam reaches a dead end. He uses logic and reason, and that still doesn't take him back to God. Doesn't quite make him whole. So he says, well, what can we do now, Eve? And she uses her intuition to flash forth inspiration that solves problems that Adam cannot do just using his concrete mind. And so using them both together, they then are able to enter back in paradise. But that's not the end of the journey. When they get in paradise, then Adam starts to take over again, and he says, well, you've got all this inspiration through the intuitive mind. Now I'm going to enter the world of ideas, which is a higher sphere still. And so Adam comes up with all these inspired ideas. And so the point is, the male and female energies, which all of us have male and female energies within us, these male and female energies working together can solve all problems, take us back to the presence of God while we're right here standing in our physical bodies, so that we're able to enter the Garden of Eden a second time. But this time, when we enter the Garden of Eden, we won't be in a state of ignorance, but we'll be in a state of enlightenment, where we'll understand why it's kind of a good thing to have bliss and joy and abundance and all your desires fulfilled, whereas in the state of ignorance, didn't really appreciate that garden very much. Eve wanted to go out and have all these experiences, but everything was necessary. We, the male energies, are forced into experience whether we want to go there or not. You know, we always wind up going there. Like, have you ever been with a female you just want to kick back, relax, watch a football game, and she wants to go do something? The female wants to lead you into experience, and we reluctantly go sometimes. Sometimes we eagerly go, depending on what kind of reward she has in mind for us. But one way or another, if the female wants something, she gets it. So the female energy decides what ideas that are going to be reality, that are accepted and will materialize. That's a pretty potent power you females have over us. You know, we can throw out all kinds of things, but until the female energy accepts it and has it planted deeply embedded in its consciousness, not a lot's going to happen. The same thing happens if when a person's on his own. He has to plant, his male mind has to plant the idea in his emotional body. Now, a lot of people will get an idea. I've seen it many, many times. So they say, I'm going to do this. But then you watch them a week later, they have really no energy spent in that direction. And why is there no energy spent in that direction? Because the seed wasn't planted in their emotional body, their female part. When the seed is planted in the female part, then they will be enthused. So when the mind comes up with the idea, the mind may be enthused, but until it gets planted in the emotional body, where you feel like the first thing you want to do when you get out of bed is go work on this project and make it happen. If you don't feel that way, then the seed has not been planted in your emotional body. You have to have the seed planted in the emotional body, and then that turns you on fire, and then there'll be nothing stopping you from accomplishing whatever you want to do. Now, where you have a male and female in a relationship, it's a similar thing. The guy has to find something that the female will accept and incorporate. And when they find that something, then magic will happen. Then all of a sudden, progress will start to be made. And the mistake the guy often makes is, I don't care what my wife thinks, I'm going ahead and do this anyway. Okay, he must care what she thinks if he really wants to make progress. Now, if he working on his own male and female energies together can accomplish maybe quite a bit, but in a relationship, you need to get your partner involved so that the fire of the unity can sustain the progress. You know, it's funny, as a teacher, I'm the male and the group as a whole is female. Matter of fact, anything where there's learning happening, the females are like to learn more than the guys because of the natural, that's a receiving situation. And so most receiving situations draw more females than males because the males feel more comfortable giving things out and the females feel comfortable receiving things. And like I say, we all do both, but because of our polarization, we're a little bit more inclined to one than the other. So if we can balance this male and female energy off, then we get a good line of communication from the soul. The interplay between males and females in the courting world really demonstrates the difference. Magnetism, gravity versus radiant activity. Tremendous difference in the two energies. And these are the two energies that make the whole universe work. It's like the oxygen atoms are the male in water, and the hydrogen are the female. The oxygen atom sends out, it has an extra electron, and it sends out to the hydrogen atom, and it shares with it, and it brings it in. And it uses, and they all balance each other off. All the atoms that form molecules are out of balance. They're missing something in their outer electron shells, and they share with each other to balance off that energy. And it makes them feel a little closer together. But even when a molecule is created, it's still a little bit out of balance. So molecules join with other molecules to get more balance. And then they create larger elements like cells. And then the cells are still a little bit out of balance, so they create more cells, join together to create more balance still. And what we do is creation continues, seeking greater and greater balance. We, as human beings, are still somewhat out of balance. Us guys have too much radiant energy. The females have too much magnetic energy, and we feel like we need something. We need to balance each other off. And so we balance each other off, we form unions, and still we're not completely balanced, but if you get a good partner, you feel more balanced than you were before. And so eventually we will seek greater associations. We do this to some extent with our friends. One couple will make friends with other couples, and they visit, and they feel a little bit more balanced and at peace because they have good friends they can associate with and create greater balance with. And we keep seeking greater and greater balance, and this will happen throughout the whole universe until we reach a point of maximum balance. When we reach a point of maximum balance, billions of years from now, what's going to happen? The universe will fold back up, and it will go back down to its original point of origin. We'll have a period of what's called Pralaya, the Great Rest, which will be a time period equal to the period of creation itself. And then we'll have another great Big Bang, and we'll have a new universe created again, and we'll do this all over again, but a little bit better and different than before.
Thanks for listening to the New Age Christian Synthesis podcast. If what you heard rang true and you'd like to find out more, please visit J.J. Dewey's website at freeread.com. That's freeread.com.